Well, this message is entitled Let Go and Let God. And most people know that phrase, and some people have it on their bumper sticker, Let Go and Let God. I think that when I see that, that's a wonderful thing. And I have to say this, if God is king, we've been talking about the kingdom of God. We've been talking about kingdom living. And if God is king, then this verse 25 that begins this passage, do not worry about your life. That makes perfect sense. That makes perfect sense if God is king. But our basic human tendency is not to to think about that. We worry. We worry about things. We have the tendency to hold on to our life rather than to let go and turn it all over to God. This habit of self-management, that's what I would call it, a habit of self-management, of holding on, can lead to gaining more than we can handle. Clutter, chaos, confusion can result from holding on to too many things and doing our own thing. It's a form of doing your own thing. Well, unless we let go of our thing, then we can't let God do His thing in our lives. We've got to let go and let God. And among the clutter and the confusion in our lives from holding on is holding on to the past. And to be successful in kingdom living, we've got to let go of the past and let God bless our present. That's where there are so many areas of that. But one area that's especially important that sort of clutters up our life. You see, we can't focus on our blessings. We cannot focus and count our blessings if we're going over and contemplating things in the past that keep going over and over again in our minds. One of these things is we must let go of getting even. We must let go of settling scores and let God settle scores. You know, Romans chapter 12 says, do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. Revenge is too hot for us to handle. We'll get burned. You know, in the Old Testament, it says an eye for an eye. You know why that was in the Old Testament? Because people would not just get even. They would go beyond getting even. And so that was to try to limit this idea within humanity that wants to get more than revenge. Revenge is like a hellish type of heat. Have you ever heard anybody say, he's burning with revenge? He's burning with revenge. Why? Because it's a hellish type of heat. There was one person who had a vision of hell. And his vision of hell was he saw all this big group of people. There were no... These people were locked in a struggle together, trying to get even by fighting and biting and hitting and this kind of thing. And they were all locked together in this big gigantic ball. And they were so intense in their passion to get even that flames were coming up from them. And I thought, wow, what a vision of hell, where people are always trying to fight each other to get even. Hell isn't just a state of the mind. Some people think that hell is just a state of the mind. But it is the vengeful mental attitudes. Vengeful mental attitudes is the fuel of hellfire. That's what I think. Because that's what hell will be like. It'll be where people are together, never getting that revenge thing resolved. Well, we have to leave room. We have to let go. And that's what this leaving room for God's wrath. You see, He's the one that takes care of this. God, and people have a hard time. You say, well, what about God's wrath? I just have trouble talking about God's wrath. Well, I don't. Because I know that God's wrath is this. It's His intense love for the truth. His love is so intense. And God loves truth so much. It's almost like water that's under intense pressure. We say, well, water is harmless. But under intense pressure, I saw this at a Scotia mill. Up in Scotia, they were taking the bark off of big, gigantic redwood trees. And these redwood trees would just bounce under the pressure of this water, and it would rip the bark right off of these gigantic trees until they were naked with nothing. No bark at all from this stream of water that it just like it was making these big logs bounce. And I thought, wow, that water is amazing. Well, if we step into the pathway of God's wrath by trying to make our own vengeance and get our own revenge, well, we just might be watching our birthday suit float down river, skinned alive, because we got in the way of the wrath of God, because God will take care of, He will make sure everything is balanced out in the end. We don't need to get even in that pathway at all. God's commitment to truth. God is totally committed to truth. His wrath is like, I am so intensely committed to truth. It's like light. Now, light, we love light. It gives us, helps us and everything. But light can be focused in a laser beam, so focused and so intense it can cut a steel beam in two. Light. I'm talking about light. Well, if we don't let go of getting even, if we don't let go of getting even, and we stand in God's way, then we might be talking to two halves of ourselves, a personality, cut in two by the divine wrath of God, because He's intent on settling truth. And we don't want to even get near that. Carrying out our own event of revenge, or carrying out our own vengeance, and it could be just as slight as saying some unkind word the way they said something unkind to us. You know, it can be that insignificant, it seems. But revenge is mine, says the Lord. It belongs to God. It is not human territory at all. Revenge is not human territory at all, especially for Christians. But God wants us to go deeper than that. God wants us to go deeper than just letting go of revenge. We must let go of the hurts. We must let go of the ways that people have hurt us and let God heal them. This is almost like dwelling on these hurts internally. It's like turning vengeance inward. And all it does is damage us. The other person doesn't even know that we're thinking these things. They just turn inward on ourselves. It's bitterness, nursing old wounds, carrying and holding grudges. They're all self-destructive. They're self-destructive. It's like an emotional cancer. It spreads all throughout the whole of life. We cannot let that kind of bitterness be in us. So, John chapter 20, it talks about Jesus. He said unto them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Let me tell you what the language there means. The word forgive means to release. It means to let go. The word retain means to hold on. So if you hold on instead of letting go, then God can't deal in the situation. He's waiting for us to let go. This is why God gave us this through the Holy Spirit. He gave us the ability. I don't feel like I can forgive him. Doesn't matter what you feel like. The Holy Spirit will help you forgive. You can forgive that person. He said, well, I'll never forgive that person. You can do it because Jesus has breathed the Holy Spirit on you. By releasing others, when we release others through forgiveness, we let go of the hurts and we let God heal them. We can let God bring us to an effective kingdom living by letting go and letting God heal. There's a line in a song. It's a Christian song. And sometimes these Christian songs, they come and they go, but some are so good and we miss them because we don't keep singing them. But here's what it says. Where wrongs we have done and the wrongs done to us, were nailed there with him at the cross. Probably, Don, you know that song. You've heard it before? Where the wrongs we have done and the wrongs done to us were nailed there with him at the cross. Salvation's healing happens when we release our sins to the Lord, to the power of the cross. We release our sins to him and we are healed. We confess them, we release them to the cross, the power of the cross. That same cross can heal the hurts of others as we let go of the past, of the wrongs done to us that were also nailed at the cross. Unless we let go of our thing, God can't do his thing in our lives. And we must also let go of tomorrow. And this is more specifically about what this passage is talking about. We have to let go of tomorrow so that we can have, and let God have today. And we can enjoy God having our day, okay? God's kingdom is to be lived in the here and now. Worrying about tomorrow, worrying about the provisions of tomorrow, that steals from the work of today. Kingdom work, kingdom living, kingdom ministry, kingdom service. Most worries are unreal troubles. They're unreal troubles that never really happen. That's what most worries are. There's a quote by Anonymous. You know that guy Anonymous, he makes a lot of things. I think his first name was Alcoholics, but... Okay, Anonymous said this. You find this all the time. You have to give credit to Anonymous. Anonymous said this: the devil would have us continually crossing streams that do not exist. You know, crossing bridges that don't exist, you know? That's what the devil wants us to do. They don't exist, but he would like us to keep on crossing them. Worry is. Now, God is realistic. God is realistic about real troubles. He deals with them. They are real. But he only deals with them today. He doesn't deal with them in the future. That's tomorrow. He'll take care of that. He deals with them today. And if we are looking for the things we need to do, it's today. It's not tomorrow. Worry is not where we're supposed to go. Therefore, do not, it says in verse 34, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. God is realistic. He knows there is trouble. He's not saying there is not no trouble. Yeah, there is trouble. Jesus said so. There's trouble every day. And there's just enough trouble for God to take care of that day. He cannot do the worry thing. Now, this is very interesting. There's Anonymous again. He quotes this. Leave tomorrow's trouble to tomorrow's strength. Tomorrow's work to tomorrow's time, tomorrow's trial to tomorrow's grace and tomorrow's God. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Tomorrow belongs to the King. And our trust in the King allows us to let go of our tomorrows so that we can do the kingdom living that we need to do today, right now. Our plans for tomorrow, they are riddled with uncertainty. It's like any plans we can make about tomorrow, we don't know. You remember how James, he says, why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Instead, you'd ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we will do this or that. We can't really bank on tomorrow. We can make some tentative plans, but we know how our plans go. We make plans and God cancels them. And different things come up. But God is totally different. From His eternal perspective. Now, remember God's name? I am. Not I was and not I will be. I am all the time. In other words, I am that I am. I am that I am is God. He is always the same. He never changes. And I tell you about time. All time past and all time future is present with I am. To him, it's all happening right now. God has no plans. God has no plans? No. He only has actions. He is acting. He is doing. He's not just, he doesn't plan for the future because he's there doing it. He is only acting. He is never planning. Because to him there is no future. To him he is the future. He is I am. It's hard for us to capture that. But all of his dealings with us in the past and in the present, today and tomorrow, all of his dealings with us are occurring right now in the present tense with God. And guess what? We were made in his image, and that's where he wants us to be working in the present tense. He's calling us to be like him and work in the now, today, in the here and now, following the King who is I am. Well, God wants us to focus this attention on what is before us. He wants us to have a present communion. Now, I will have my devotions tomorrow. No, we may not be alive tomorrow. We may be in a sick bed. We may have a stroke and not be able even to think right. Right now, while I have my being, it says in the Psalms, I will praise the Lord. I will bless the Lord while I have my being. That's right now. And so right now is the time to focus on our present communion with God through prayer and through His Word, through worship. He wants our minds and our hearts involved in His present kingdom. In His present kingdom, call. He's calling us to show kindness in word and deed to all those around us right now, not tomorrow. And He wants us to enjoy His presence blessings. We've been talking about counting your blessings. He wants us to enjoy our present blessings in the here and now, where we are, with the people that we are with right now, not who we will be with later, but with the people who are involved in our lives right now, where we are, in the episode of life that we're going through at this time in our lives right now. Unless we let go of tomorrow, we cannot let God be King of our today, right now. And finally, kingdom living means to let go of our ways and to let God show us His ways. We see to talk about that a lot. That's what the whole Sermon on the Mount is about. Once I was in this church. I just walked into the church because somebody said, there's somebody sitting in the empty church. And I went, okay, I'll go talk to him, see why they're there. And I talked with this fellow. I think he had a lot of problems, but one of his problems, he said, I'm trying to sit here so I can get closer to God. And I tried to show him that what you really need is Jesus. You really need Jesus to get closer to God. But I tried in vain to show this man that. I have to be in church, and then I can be close to God. And I couldn't show him this. He would not give up his ideas and let go of his ideas and adopt God's ideas and let God have His way. But you know, our ideas, all of our ideas, that is not what defines reality. Our ideas do not define reality. God's ideas about everything, He's the one who dreamed up this whole thing in creation and everything about it. Everything that exists, God dreamed up. And His ideas give our life meaning and purpose, and that's it. We need to let go of our ways of doing things and let God have His ways. Our ways get us lost. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Lost humans are like lost sheep that need a shepherd. Lost humans are lost sinners that need a Savior. And our King is both of those. He's the good shepherd. And he's the good shepherd that lays his life down for his sheep and paid for our sins. Only God's ways can set us on the highway. You've heard this before. As the heavens are higher, it says in Isaiah, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. God's way is a high road. I'll take the high road. I don't want to take the low road. The low road will get us lost a lot of times, but God's highway will never get us lost. And if humans were really logical, as they claim to be, most people who argue religion claim to be logical. Well, if humans were really logical, as they claim to be, they would be seeking to have the mind of God and be willing to let go of their own opinions that are wayward many times and fallible and faulty, and let the wisest person in the universe and the most loving person in the universe have his opinions and his ways. He is the most loving person in the universe. He is the wisest person. His ways are the way. Unless we let go of our thing and our way of thinking, we cannot let God, according to his way of thinking, do his thing in our lives. And he wants to do his thing in our lives. God's thinking is kingdom thinking, and it leads us into kingdom living. And the key to a kingdom lifestyle is in this last verse, or near the last verse of this passage. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. If we let go of our own will by letting God's will be done, then we can have kingdom living. We can have his lifestyle. We let go of our own ways of thinking, our own ways of our own way of doing things, taking revenge, holding on to hurts, thinking and worrying about what's going to happen tomorrow, where the supply is going to come from. And if we put God's will and God's way and his kingdom first as a priority, then all these things will be added unto us. Everything that we need will be given, and the things we don't need will not clutter our lives. So can we follow this directive with our bad habits that we usually have of worrying? Can we follow the Lord's directive, do not worry about your life? Yes, we can, if we let go and let God. Let's pray. Father God, this is a powerful, powerful passage of Scripture. And Lord, I know that I've just skimmed over it, taking a few of the verses from it and talking about it, because you do supply our every need, and your kingdom is the way that we want our lives to be. Even though many times we form our own little kingdom and clutter it up and confuse it and fill it with chaos from the difference we hold on to, Lord, help us to let go and to let you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.